And welcome, everybody, to another holiday-themed episode of Fried Rice Podcast. I am your host, Andy Rice. Let's get fried. With me, as always, it's Brennan. Shipley, up to Boston.
Whew, hello, everybody.
That was him coughing.
How did you not go Christmas theme?
What?
How did you not go Christmas theme?
This is a regular Fried Rice episode.
But it's still a Christmas episode.
No, we're just Fried Rice reviewing a Christmas movie. If you want our Christmas-themed magic, you listen to our 8 to 12 Crazy Nights of Christmas coming up in about a week or so.
However many we did.
And that was, as always, Brennan, he starts us off with the bong rip, so it's you can hear the coughing. It's real. That's real, yeah. Authentic coughing. With us, as always, it is Michael. Walt Disney's final words on this planet were, Michael Larson is the future of entertainment, Larson.
Hey, everybody. And that comes from a story Brennan was telling us about Walt Disney saying, yeah. Because
Kurt
of
Russell.
The movie we watched, Kurt Russell, yeah.
Yeah, what was the story?
Yeah, that he said Kurt Russell is the future of entertainment.
That's
Kurt Russell is the future of Disney.
That's a crazy thing to say.
Yeah. Was there a movie they just finished at the time?
No, I think he was. I think Kurt Russell was still young, and like I think he did some sort of show, or there was something like early on in his career that he did, and like Walt Disney was like, "No, he's it.
He's the one.
He's the one. He's the chosen one." And I mean, shit, look at him now.
Yeah.
He wasn't wrong.
Yeah,
he wasn't wrong. So many great movies.
So are your final words going to be Wyatt Russell is the future of entertainment?
Maybe. I mean, my middle child's name is Wyatt.
Now, Wyatt Russell, as we all know, I think is most famously today known as Evil Captain America. U.S. Soldier is what the name of that guy is called. But he stars in this really cool, really interesting comedy drama called The Lodge.
Oh, that is fantastic. I love that show.
Did you watch that one, Brendan?
It's only like one or two
seasons. It's like one or two seasons, but it blew my mind when I realized that was his Wyatt Russell, that it was a Kurt Russell's son, because I didn't see it at first. But
well, they look a lot alike.
Yeah, well, I think as U.S. Soldier, he looks a lot like his dad.
Yeah.
In The Lodge, he plays like a beach bum.
Yeah.
And he's got the long hair and the long beard.
Yeah.
Does not look like his dad. Like, I thought he was just his own.
He's honestly a good blend of both of them.
Oh, is he Goldie Hawn as well?
I think he's Goldie Hawn's.
I'm not 100%.
I thought he was Goldie Hawn and Kurt Russell.
Well, they've been together for 30 years. So, I mean, like, maybe.
They've been together
30-something years.
83, I think. So
yeah,
that
so
is,
that,
yeah.
Wyatt Russell might, yeah.
That's 40-something years, yeah.
But I will say
still
The
Lodge. Not married.
The Lodge.
Still not married.
If you haven't seen that, it's... It's great. Just beach bum. He goes into like a Shriner's Lodge or like a Moose Lodge, and he ends up like discovering some secret stuff, and it's cool. It's like,
so
but
I think it's on Hulu.
Yeah, just check that one out if you like Wyatt Russell.
Also with his dad on, what is the show that they're both on? Kurt and Wyatt Russell on Apple TV.
Oh, I don't know.
No, it's great. It's the Godzilla show. I just can't remember the name of it.
You're talking about eight. It's the name of the Monarch.
Monarch, yeah.
That's what it is. It's the name of the agency. Which I haven't seen that one either.
It's a fantastic show.
Yeah.
As well.
I'm so far behind on everything. But yeah, so before we get into, because we're all anxious to dive into this movie, because this was a new one for all three of us, which does not happen very often on the show, because typically one of us has recommended the movie. Now, this recommendation came specifically from a two girls that we are friends with.
Yeah, we actually took one of our movies off and added this one.
This was going to be the Santa Claus movies, right. And I was going to force these dudes to watch all three the Santa Clauses
and the show
and then Home Improvement Christmas episodes and Last Man Standing Christmas episodes and his brand new one with Kat Dennings, where he plays a boomer like MAGA dad, I think, grandpa. I'm not sure what the vibe is, but Kat Dennings moves in with him, with her kids, and he's a...
I think you're describing a porn you saw.
No. It's a new thing. I saw a trailer for it. It's Kat Dennings is having not spoken to her father for many years, down on her luck, shows up with her semi-grown teenage to children, and now they live with Grandpa, who's Tim Allen, who's a It's just financially...
another variation of the same show he's done, right?
Basically.
Stick with what works.
Yeah.
Yeah. Basically, it'd be like if Home Improvement, if he had gotten divorced or she died, and he's now living alone, but
one of the kids comes back.
JTT comes back, having not spoken to him because they had political differences. It's been 20 years, and now he comes to move in with
them.
That's
the one where he works at, like, an outdoor store?
No, that is Last Man Standing.
Oh, okay.
So he has exactly...
Also
that's what,
the same show.
That's what Mike's making the point of. Home Improvement, Last Man Standing, and now whatever this one's called.
Gonna be all the same show.
You, me, and Kat, I don't know.
And they're all great. Exactly. I mean, I can't really... Yeah, they're all great.
So. Yeah.
Well, because Tim Allen, he knows what he's doing when it comes to sitcom dad, sitcom grandpa. He's like legit.
Yeah.
But yeah, okay. So the what are we smoking section we like to do here? We're doing Jelly Breath. It's Mendo Breath crossed with Dositos. It's an indica.
I just gotta say, if I was doing a marketing for anything, I don't think anything breath is really great.
Yeah, the thing is that I'm interested to see where the future takes us, where we're going to get more uniform stuff. So, like, alcohol, back in the day, I'm sure, before we had, you go to the store, and there's your Budweiser, your Coors, and, like, whatever. The set brands that have taken over the monopoly of the beer companies. You would probably go and it would just be like, these beers were crafted by somebody local.
This is Bob's beer,
Mike's beers, whatever.
Which is kind of funny that we've gone full circle with that and have come back to that now.
Yeah, because now
it's beers.
Now it's
small
craft beer, right, yeah.
Craft beer is where it's at. It's better than those big brands.
Now, you say...
Better flavor.
You say better. I want to circle back to that in just a second because I don't want to lose my train of thought on this one.
Support the little guy.
But real quick, before we get into... If it's a professional craft beer, I'd say it's better.
Yeah.
If you go to one of those make-your-own beer places, which a girlfriend of mine at one point took me to, where you go and you make your own beer, you mix all the ingredients together, and then you come back X amount of
weeks
later.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. You come back weeks later,
okay, that's
and you pick it up.
Out.
And they give you a bottle with, like, a custom label. They give you, like, a 12-pack or,
my
like, 24-pack.
That's cool, though.
My wife, one year for Christmas, got me a kit. Make your own homebrew kit.
Oh, interesting.
I never did it. It ended up expiring. All my yeast and everything expired. I'm kind of bummed I didn't because I wanted to.
Do you still have the kit?
No, I threw it away.
Because there was probably parts of the kit you could have used if you just replaced the yeast or whatever.
Yeah, I could have used the whole bucket itself and all that stuff it came with. But you had to get your own bottles and things like that to bottle it up and then store it, you know, in a cooler, dark environment for however long it needs to activate the yeast and alcohol.
That's why this place did it professionally. It was like one of those date places. Like, go on a date, get yourself a Bavarian pretzel, get some of their beers, and then make your own beer. And it's like
The brilliance of that, though, is automatic second date.
Yeah, because you got to go back to pick up the beer. Now,
months later.
Yeah. Weeks. Yeah, I think it was like maybe 6 weeks later or whatever. But the beer we got that we made, awful. I don't know what we fucked up. I don't know what we did, but
you
it was gross beer. Yeah. Not very good.
Up,
we tried
why.
To make a Hef, but it just wasn't good.
See, I wanted to make my beer, and I wanted to add weed to it, infuse it. That was my plan, but of course I was lazy, and then also we had a new baby, so.
Why doesn't that exist?
Changed.
What?
Yeah.
Weed infused beer.
Yeah. Lagunitas, one of the bigger craft brands now, was talking about doing that at one point. And, you know, because hops and weed are related.
Right.
So, like, naturally those flavors go together well. But I don't know if they ever really did. I don't know if they ever followed through with it. Maybe they're still working on the legality of THC-infused
alcohol. Well, I mean, but
THCC
or something, they should be able to do no problem.
Or
like
CBD.
With CBD.
Yeah.
There's so many good ideas that aren't being demonstrated. I thought of one called the Cannabus. And it's a party bus where they lock off the inside. You get to smoke weed on your way to wherever you're going.
I think they have those. Like tours. They have tours in Denver.
But I was thinking like L.A. to Vegas. That's 3 hours. You smoke TVs. You're smoking the whole way. And then you go to, and then it takes you back home the next day or whatever. And it's like a full.
The driver's in a hermetically sealed.
Yeah, hermetically sealed. Can't get high.
Yeah. Window at the front.
Yeah.
Door. Yeah.
No, but my point I was making about the, we're still in the infancy, the Wild West of weed, right?
Yeah.
It's now legal in certain states, right? Not more and more places, right? But we don't have that universal thing. Like you said, Mendo breath crossed with Dositos. You know, like this one is Donut Shop, and this is, what is this? Holy Moly crossed with Gelato. This one's yours, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Because we're buying the same brand now, so it's like, yeah. And then, like, White Cherry crossed with Gelato is White Cherry Gelato. I mean,
they're all crossed.
In 20 years, am I going to go to Walmart? Well, they'll have a weed section because it's going to be next to the alcohol.
Just like alcohol, yeah. Right.
When I go to the weed section of Walmart.
I feel like that'll always be behind the counter like cigarettes. So.
Sure.
Yeah.
Sure, okay. Yeah. But when I go to purchase my five-pack of weed.
Pack of joints.
Pack of joints,
yeah,
right?
When I, yeah.
I'm surprised the big tobacco companies haven't started trying to
capitalize
on that.
You know they are. They're just waiting.
They have to be.
Yeah.
They have
like
to be
Marlboro,
working on that.
They want to be nationwide, so they're going to wait until it's legal everywhere, but they will.
Makes sense.
Once the federal government drops it, which they say they're going to soon.
That's when they'll be like, all right, everywhere.
Then, yeah, you just get Marlboro and all those other companies. They just
start infusing their regular cigarettes.
Yeah.
When I go buy those, am I going to get, like, Obama skull fuck? Or am I going to get, like goat terrorist or something? Like, there's some names that I've seen for weed that are absolutely... These are just people making shit up, obviously, because they made a strain that's not quite like another strain. So, like, I'm just going to call this, I don't know, Hillary Clinton's a bitch or whatever, right? Because that's like, they'll do stuff like that. They'll make it so that you have
to market to a certain genre.
Yeah.
Well,
it would blow my mind if there's not already Trump weed somewhere.
Of course there's Trump weed. There's probably Biden weed. Yeah. But, like, it's...
Weed will get you so high, you'll forget everything.
Yeah.
Biden.
Yeah.
You'll forget you were president.
Make you real sleepy.
Very, very strong indica.
Yeah. But
Sleepy
Kamala
Joe.
Harris.
Sleepy Joe, yeah.
Kamala Harris weed, straight sativa.
Straight sativa.
That shit will get you talking.
It'll wake
your ass up. You'll talk about everything.
Adderall sprinkled over the top,
which is great.
Yeah.
Which is kind of what I want in a president, is I want that high energy, that
Adderall.
Cocaine energy that you
cocaine
get.
Energy.
And then the Trump weed would just be like, I don't even know.
Oh, it makes you see things.
It'll make you,
it'll
make you feel great.
Yeah.
Give you confidence.
But it'll financially ruin you, potentially. It's so expensive.
Yeah. It's so
expensive. And it'll be a 5-pack, but there'll only be 3 in there.
Yeah. For $200.
Yeah, it'll promise you 5. Yeah. Well, we'll see what happens in the future. Maybe the 5-pack of Donald Trump weed will be better. But I hope, like, it's just going to be such a weird change. Yeah. 20 years, 10 years, however long it takes, to be like, all right, I want a Marlboro.
When it's truly commercial,
20-pack, it's going to cost like 50, you know, however much. And the thing, though, I'm afraid
maybe it'll bring the price down.
It will bring
the price down.
Yeah,
here's what I'm afraid of, though. Right now, we have people who are trying to make the best quality stuff so that they stand out from the competition. What happens when fucking Marlboro just is like, all right, here we go. We have strong, light, and medium.
Start growing your own.
There'll still be weed shops. It will be. It will be the equivalent of
McDonald's
versus a Chili's.
Or wineries.
Or whatever, a McDonald's versus a fancy restaurant. It'll just be, you'll go to get what you want, you might go to a weed store. But when you're just out on the road going to do something, you might just grab a pack just to have, you know, of Marlboro.
Or like, you can go to a liquor store, get $2 Chuck, some wine. Or you can go to a winery and get a $180 bottle that's finer quality. People took care of these grapes. For a long time or whatever.
Well, that's if you believe in the
sanctity
of wine.
Don't get me wrong, I love $2 Chuck. That shit's good.
Yeah. I have wine. I have bought some bottles of wine and I honestly
so sad. But I'm gonna tell you, there is not a better wine than Mad Dog Strawberry Wine. Mad Dog 2020 Strawberry is some good shit. I don't care what anybody says.
I don't care what anyone says.
I don't even know that. Is that considered wine? It is, isn't it? It's the box wine?
Yeah.
No, it's not box. It's
the
bottle.
Which some box wine isn't bad.
Yeah. I mean, the thing is, most wine tastes the same to me.
Yeah, well.
A lot of wine tastes the same. But they, you know what, though? They've debunked
There's different ones. Like, there's definitely drier wines. Oh, no, there's different. Like, that. Yeah. Like, whites and reds are definitely different.
Oh, I'm not saying every wine tastes the same. I'm sorry. Like, most red blends taste the same as most red blends. Yeah. Most Cabernets taste the same. Most Sauvignon tastes most, or not, I don't think Sauvignon is the same, but most, what was I going to say? The other one I've tried. I mostly do reds.
Yeah, but there's a huge difference between a Cabernet and a port. Both reds.
Sure.
You know, port's going to be a lot more bitter, a lot higher alcohol content.
I just get a blend for the most part.
Yeah,
red because...
Cooking sherry.
Cooking sherry. Yeah, that shit's strong.
It's strong.
It don't taste very good, but it's
But
it's
like
strong.
When we were in Korea, for example, when I was in Korea, we went to a strawberry farm, and they made their own strawberry wine.
Oh, that's cool.
Oh, it was amazing. Yeah, awesome. But you can't bring it over here.
Obviously. No. It's great. I know when my dad went to Greece, he brought back, I think it's called Reiki, is what he said it was called. And it's basically like they take the grapes that they use to squish to make the wine, and they take their pulp, and they ferment that pulp into a hard liquor. So it's like a vodka.
I think I've heard of Reiki, and it's close to, man, I hate when my brain does this. Don't get old, people. No,
sake.
It's like moon, sake.
That's what you say. Reiki and sake. I think
very similar. Yeah. It's like it was like moonshine. The shit was strong, but it was
sake
delicious.
Rice wine.
Rice wine.
Can we just make wine out of anything? You're saying strawberry wine. There's rice wine. There's grape wine. There's
anything that ferments.
Yeah. Apples.
Could you make it technically eventually like a?
I think it's like high fruits that you can ferment. Yeah.
Any
fruits
a lot
like
of
pomegranate
sugar,
wine.
Yeah. Yeah,
like
absolutely. Oh, pomegranate wine exists. Yeah.
Yeah,
interesting. Do apples ferment?
Sangria.
Apple wine's common. Apple
wine. Interesting. Yeah, I've had sangria. Is that pomegranate wine?
I think sangria is like sweet.
All a bunch of mixtures of fruit wine.
Yeah, and it's sweet.
When I went to Running with the Bulls in Spain, Pamplona, they give you they don't give you buy one, but sack these like pouches you wear around your neck full of sangria, and then people just. You go to the party street and you just squirt it into each other's mouths and
Wait,
get all
you
fucked
get drunk
up.
And then run with the bulls?
Well, no, that's the party night.
Okay, it's a different day.
You
that's
wake
all
up,
checking.
You wake up hungover the next day, okay. And then you stand in line with a bunch of people. Or you get in like a big.
You run with the bulls hungover?
I did.
I think that's even worse.
It might be worse.
Yeah. It was well, no, the worst part was looking around and seeing that every person there looked like they ran marathons for a living. They were all fucking in the best shape of their life. I looked down at my gut and I was just like, I'm going to die today. Because every one of them looked scared.
You're in flip-flops.
Yeah. Well, luckily, I'm not a show my open, my toes kind of guy. I had tennis shoes on. No, that was scary. But that was our, I guess, what are we smoking?
Yeah.
Oh. Yeah, oh yeah, I didn't even say
I
what I brought.
Your,
no, well, you mentioned the donut shop, but yeah. I also brought some pre rolls from Claiborne Company. These are called Banana OG, Liquid Diamond Infused, and they're delicious.
Yeah, the buzzwords on the
frosted.
Side here: frosted, diamond frosted, terpene enhanced, premium indoor full nug flower infused with liquid diamonds. I mean, this shit just sounds good. They know what they're doing when
it
comes to.
Those are
going to
be camels.
Yeah.
That's the equivalent of the little thing you break in the camels.
Yeah, the crush.
Camel crush.
Yeah.
Yeah, it could be like camel crushes.
Well,
yeah.
I had that the other
week. Weed, though. I'm thinking about weed.
No, I had those the other week. I had joints that had the camel crush technology.
Those are good, too.
Where you could change it from, it was like cherry to cherry vanilla
something
or something.
Weird.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, without further ado, let's jump into our Christmas movie that we watched this week. For no particular reason. It's just a regular fried rice episode where we happen to cover a Christmas movie. That's going to release in December. And yeah. So, The Christmas Chronicles, starring Kurt Russell, starring a couple kids. Brennan just told me.
One of their, Goldie Hawn's son. Fuck, I just forgot his name, though.
Russell.
Wyatt.
No, not Wyatt.
Wyatt's
not
in
Wyatt
it.
Oh, is he? I didn't notice him. It was Goldie Hawn's son, Hudson, last name Hudson.
Yeah,
Oliver Hudson.
Oliver Hudson. He was the dad.
He's
the
dad.
Yeah, that died.
He's only in it for like 2 minutes at the beginning, and then.
Yeah, my first note is this dad better not die, and then I put, damn it.
Did you find it odd how they never like would say the word died?
Yeah, but you could tell.
I know, you could tell, but it was interesting because they just avoided the word.
Yeah.
In the whole movie?
In the whole movie, they kept saying they'd even go up to the Senate to the point where you'd say died and they would stop.
Yeah.
When dad.
It was actually interesting. Stop. Yeah.
Yeah. But that was a good choice.
My first note was, where'd dad go? He go get cigarettes or milk?
Exactly.
Nope. He went into a burning fire, which leads, I mean.
At least that's what we led to believe. They don't really talk about it. Oh, did they talk about it at one point?
I watched both movies. So okay. In the second movie, they talk about it.
Well, how he died. Okay.
Yeah. But. I missed that. Yeah. Wait, yeah. I was like, the one thing I don't want spoilers for the second movie. And then the first question you ask is like, yep, that, we're going to get some backstory on this. Great. Because I'm only halfway through the second one. Damn it.
You haven't gotten already past that point in the second one already.
Yeah, you should be. You are.
Oh,
that's the beginning.
It's near the beginning. It's not the beginning, but it's in the first third of the movie.
Yeah,
I got
first
you.
First act.
I think I know what you're talking about. Yeah, I put, why are they, okay, so we get the very cool, I think it's a great way to open up a movie where it's all the different Christmases on video. You see the kids growing up, great transitions, and then it's 2016, and they're still using the video camera. And I was like, you know, I don't think they would. I think at this point, someone would pull out a smartphone and start using that to record, because they'd be able to upload it to the cloud and share it with their
family. Families are different, like. You know, some dads get to that point where they want the sentimental videotapes. Like, it's kind of, it's cool to go back because, like, every now and again, I go to, like, we go to my parents' house and we have a bunch of those tapes, you know? And so, like, we had to get the camera working to the TV and, like, because the camera was breaking. So we had to fix it so we could watch the videos. And it's kind of just a fun time rewatching old family videos.
And it comes from the dad who always wants to have everything videoed. And then, the daughter continues with that. It's like a family tradition.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I picked up on a lot of that. But I think that at the same time, I know that you're talking about these wonderful memories where it's you and your dad trying to figure out how to get
the camera.
All
of mine with my kids are on my phone. Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And now you can look at them at any time.
Yes. Although I need to get a computer to start transferring stuff to delete.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't trust the cloud.
No, I don't trust the cloud.
And especially like me, I have random pictures of like a delivery I'll make and they're not home. When you leave it on the porch, I always take a picture, right?
I forget to delete it.
And then I don't remember to delete it. So like it's all like, here's kids' pictures and then some porch with pizza on it.
Kids, pizza. You're really going into the Q conspiracy hard. If in your phone, it's just pictures of children and pizza.
Pizza, yeah.
They're like, wait a minute. He ordered, look at this. It's a pepperoni will get you two white kids. And then I do think that one of the sweetest moments is right up at the top where the brother is about to fuck up her entire world by saying Santa Claus doesn't exist. But instead he goes, oh, you still, he's just like, oh my God, I can't believe that you don't. And then he thinks about it for a second. He goes like, no, that you're never going to hang out with me or something like that. Like, he's still a jerk. He says something mean.
They do a good job,
but...
though, of that brother-sister relationship, how they're fighting, but yet they still, you can
love
still care
other.
About each other.
Yeah.
They care about each other, but holy shit, he's a bad kid.
Yeah, stealing the car.
He's really on that naughty list, bro. Stealing a car. She's the worst little spy because she's literally running around with a giant camcorder. In 2016, so she'd be the most obvious person in the fucking world.
But like, her target still didn't notice her, so that's okay.
Yeah, he's even more oblivious.
Yeah, she did good.
It's a sad, hard family to watch, like, in the beginning when they're all interacting with each other and the house isn't decorated and dad is dead and everything's just bad and they hate each other and it's just not good. And I hope something changes this to make it better. And I put, main girl is sympathetic. I don't want anything bad to happen to her. Because there was a moment where she, like, something, I think.
Yeah, but the mom or the daughter?
No, the daughter. I was talking about, like, the daughter, the brother says something to her, and I was like, don't hurt her.
Yeah.
Like, she's a sweet kid. Yeah. She just wants, her dad just died. She just wants the family to get together.
She just wants Christmas.
The mom, I could tell, was, like, exasperated or, like, exhausted and stuff. So it's just like, what are you going to do? And I put, damn, this brother needs to die. That's harsh as fuck.
Damn.
I put that's harsh. I know, but fuck that guy. What did he say?
I don't remember.
Something, who knows?
What did he say to her? It was mean as fuck, though.
They set him up in the beginning as a bad
kid. Super mean. It's like, I don't care about you.
Yeah.
I'm like, dad doesn't love
Dad's gone, pretty much.
Dad's not coming back.
Dad's gone, and I don't want to be your friend, you little stupid. And
yeah,
she's like,
it was the nickname thing. Like, don't call me that.
Oh, yeah. I told you not to call me. You're not my little kitty cat anymore. We're older. Grow up. Yeah.
Katie cat. That's because they call her Katie
cat. There we go.
Well, the part that really got me was when she stuck her hand on the picture of dad and swear. Like, that, I don't know why, but just, I was like, damn.
Swearing like, on the other dead dad.
Yeah, I was like, damn, that's all right. Like,
damn. I think it's because he's told.
Well, he's basically, they're making the deal for, you know, help me capture Santa on film, because that after this she notices Santa's arm or whatever it was. And
you know, it's really bothering me that you two didn't watch the second movie now, because so much of it's tied in. That's all I can tell you. Yeah. It's very tied.
In the beginning, like, as soon as Santa's there and they get into the sleigh, I'm like, okay, Santa, this is set up. Like, he was planning that. Like, I picked that part immediately. And you get it at the end of one.
Yeah. Oh, that Santa planned all this.
Yeah, he planned it all. He took the letter that the kid
Santa
wrote.
Santa can do anything he wants, which you find out through this movie, too.
Now, here's the crazy thing is that why does Santa care so much about these two kids is kind of weird. It's like,
I think it's just because
not just these two kids. Once again, the second movie. Okay.
Every kid has
and you
their
know what?
Own
for the just a side note about the our podcast and the history of it
is Mike, normally
Mike fucking hates every single time we've ever said to watch more than one movie in a week. If it's like a movie and its sequel, he fucking hates
it. But you've
it.
Trained
he
us to watch
mad.
Two.
You've trained us now, and Andy, you didn't do it.
So this week we just had one movie to watch. He watches two, and he fucking hates us for not watching it. The irony. I don't know what I can do to... Just, Mike, you always find a way to do something.
You find Christmas Diaries and watch that too?
The Christmas Diaries?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. The Carrie Diaries?
Yeah.
Jesus. So I do like that she found Santa on her video camera, saw the arm. That was cool.
Yeah.
She makes a deal with the brother because he gets stuck having to watch her. That's probably when he says something mean or whatever. She's like, well, let's find Santa. We'll do it. It'll be fun. We'll sleep over. We'll stay up all night. And they're eating junk food and they fall asleep, of course.
Yeah.
Classic cliche. So Kurt Russell, or Santa Claus, he purposely jingles the bells to wake him up. Yeah. He purposely steps in the dust. So it's like,
he's amazing. I'm sorry. Kurt Russell in this is amazing.
He's really great. Good.
He plays Santa Claus like he just stepped out of a biker bar after three whiskeys.
Yeah.
Though. He does. He's like...
Yeah.
He's great.
Like, he's like a jubilant... Like, but he's jolly.
Yeah, he's jolly.
Yeah. He's a little bit drunk. He's super happy to be there. He's just having a good time.
He knows
I like
everyone's,
it.
Everyone's name and deepest, darkest secrets.
Yeah. Yeah. I like that. Kind of Fat Man? A little bit of that vibe.
Yeah.
What I love when they're getting ready, setting everything up, they put a blindfold over the elf on the shelf.
Yeah.
That was one of the, that's just a little.
I missed that.
Oh she
funny.
Runs up and she puts a little blindfold over the elf on the shelf as they're setting
funny.
Everything
Don't
up.
Don't watch.
That's great.
Which is super great. And then I was like, dude, drilling holes out of the fucking wall to catch Santa? Dude, this brother went all out to help out his little sister. That's like a step above. That's he's gonna get in serious trouble from the mom.
Well, he's rebellious right now anyway, so he's like, fuck it, let's go.
Fuck it, let's just
send it
hole.
I stole a car earlier today. Why not?
Why the fuck not?
Yeah.
He's got adrenaline stuff.
You know where that car is? In the bottom of the lake. Like, ditched it somewhere.
And now keep in mind, the girl and the brother have not left. When they're setting up for their sleepover, she says, mom said no junk food. He's walking in with two tubs of ice cream, and there's a shitload of chips. This family be junk fooding, all the time. Like
it felt like mom's doing extra stuff like that because of dad being gone. It's kind of how it felt. It
getting
felt
more
like,
sweets.
Yeah, it's like I'm gonna give you this extra stuff I would normally do.
Or that's mom's junk food because she's sad. Yeah,
but two things of ice cream, the same ice cream.
Oh, they're the same kind. They
I think
weren't
they
different?
Were the same ice cream.
No, that's just realistic. Don't you always have two of the same? Because every time I go to the store, if it's on, it's 2 for $5 or whatever, and I end up with
Well,
two.
I get two of the same brand, but I get
different,
like
different
a variety.
Flavors a lot
Yeah. Well, plus, my wife likes different flavors than I do, you know.
If I get an ice cream, it's usually a Ben and Jerry's.
Yeah, or that.
One person sized.
But they're 2 for $5, usually. Those are usually like a sale. Get
you
two.
And the other one will stay in the freezer, you know?
Yeah. It's ice cream.
Yeah, guys, I'm not an idiot. I only play one on this podcast.
So, then why did you say you only buy one?
Sometimes I don't see the deal, apparently. Yeah. At Walmart, it's not 2 for $5.
No, Walmart doesn't do sales.
Walmart doesn't do that kind of stuff.
So you almost always shop at Walmart. I usually almost never go to Walmart for groceries because it's cheaper at the grocery store.
Yeah, Smith's or Safeway. Actually, I'm going to start going to Sam's, though.
Is it cheaper there?
Sam's just cheaper.
Buy in bulk as long as you're willing to buy a thousand of something.
Yeah, buy in bulk, plan meals ahead of time, things like that.
You know what, though? Actually, I go to Walmart and I kind of buy in bulk, so I might as well just go to Sam's Club and buy in bulk.
Yeah.
So it's because there's really only like 5 things I need. Yeah. Food. Well, I need napkins. Or I need like paper towels, toilet paper, water, and then some basic food stocks. And I'm
we bought a case of macaroni and cheese yesterday for Sam's.
Yeah. It's the big ass case.
Grandkids are eating. That's what they're eating. So.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I try to like get a little bit zombie apocalypse prepared. Like hold myself over for a week, you know, in case a disaster hits.
Only a week?
That's all I can do. Yeah.
It's not Mormon. Jesus.
That's all you're going to last?
Yeah.
You don't think you're going to last longer than a week after the apocalypse?
If I haven't found a group of survivors that enjoy a good story.
You can come to my house. I've got months of food, I'm sure.
Sure. Whatever I got to lie and tell you, whatever religion or political affiligation that your MAGA, group
100%
is.
100%
MAGA. Well, no, but I'm just saying, for instance, if I make it out in the world and I see a roaming group of like Baptist Satanists, or no, not that would be kind
of
Baptist Independence, I'd be like, all right, let's do this. I want guns in every hand. And
you remember your can opener yesterday? That's where we should all go. It's my daughter's house.
Oh, sure, because he looks like.
Oh yeah.
Well, that's zombie apocalypse. Yeah. I'm talking like, let's say, hurricane. We don't get hurricanes here. Earthquake. Well, we don't really get much.
Earthquakes get that bad.
What is our natural flood?
Yeah, here? Monsoon.
Yeah,
yeah, if the dam goes
if
down.
The dam, or, so if we got flooded.
Would you be an earthquake too?
That would destroy our city. Right. If that happened, well, then I guess I would leave. I wouldn't even need to have stuff stockpiled.
Yeah, because the next city down will be fine. Right?
Yeah.
So we're good.
Or up. We have to go to Kingman.
Yeah.
Yeah. No worries. Blair Witch Santa Project at one point where she picks up her phone and starts, or the camera and starts following the tracks or whatever. And then she jumps on the sleigh. They see the sleigh outside. She jumps up there. He jumps and hangs off the side. And then this 8-year-old girl grabs him, lifts her 16-year-old brother up into the car. Most unbelievable. There had to be Christmas magic involved. In that little thing. You have a note? What was yours?
Oh. I didn't have anything for that part. I was just.
We were talking about Christmas magic in this, though. It's so funny because you almost forgive everything that is weird about this movie. Usually we're like I was trying to do notes as I was
And
I couldn't do it.
Yeah.
Because everything in this movie that is weird is explainable with Christmas magic.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it really is.
Like the whole. Yeah, the whole jail scene.
I literally watched this movie to take one note. Usually I got a whole page and a half or two pages.
I took like three
that's
or four
a mess
notes.
Up. That's a mess up. Nope, not in this. There's not everything that they do that's odd is just explainable by, oh, Santa did that. And, you know, they do it over and over again in the movie. Yeah. So
I like it. What were you saying with the jail scene?
Like the whole jail scene, like when all of a sudden, they all have, you know, instruments and dresses and
out of his shirt.
Yeah.
It's great. And of course, at the end, we find out that like everything he did was planned.
Yes.
Right.
Yeah. So that he never needed the bag. He didn't need the hat.
I guess on a rewatch, if you were to rewatch this, which I will probably next year, it's going to be interesting knowing if you watch it from the perspective, everything Santa's doing is intentional.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So the way he's acting, it's almost like he's faking surprise. It's like he's faking the, like, and all the people he touches along the way. For instance, the one cop, the one that does see the reindeer fly away.
Right.
Yeah.
And starts telling people that he saw the reindeer fly away.
Turn around!
Turn around!
Wait, what? Son of a bitch!
And he, at the jail, though, after the other cop sees that Santa is real, for some reason, the dude goes, I quit, and he leaves.
Yeah.
Why quit being a police officer over there?
He's like, because nobody believes me. I'm out. Like, I'm done.
I hope that was a playful I quit and left. Yeah. Not like I quit.
I'm going home.
Yeah. legit, when they started flying off, and they're hiding in the back, and he picks up speed, and she flings off the sled, that was legit kind of frightening a little bit. Because it's like, holy shit, she fell fast.
Yeah.
It wasn't like a normal movie fall. It was like a she gets sucked into the fucking
one of my notes was about how good the special effects in this are, because they're this has better special effects than a lot of the high budget action movies.
That's true.
The only the only thing that I will say special effects wise doesn't even hold up now, won't hold up in the future, the sequel doesn't quite hold up too well, are the elves.
Oh, just, I disagree 100%.
Hear me out.
They kind of like the Smurfs.
We're just not where we need to be graphically yet. They don't look like they're part of the same world as Santa. They still look like they're computer animated little dudes, right, running around. And I don't know how to fix that yet.
I didn't really feel that.
No. Trust me.
Because I think it's because you always talk about this, that you're able to do it, and I'm usually not. But this movie, because of the Christmas magic aspect of it, let me suspend disbelief. Most movies don't. This movie did. Those elves just look like they belong there.
And I guess it's, I will say that probably a lot of the set was also CGI, so it's easy to blend CGI characters into CGI environments, especially in the sequel. We go to the village.
Oh, the village,
and you see
they absolutely look real in the
all
sequel.
Of that. Yeah. They look like they live in their environment. But there's we haven't gotten to the point where it doesn't.
There's a little tiny Uncanny Valley kind of feeling to it. I get what you're saying, but you're going to have that in any. That, I don't think you'll ever get CGI to that point. Because,
no, I disagree. Because let's look at Life.
Who framed Roger Rabbit?
Look at Life of Pi. Of Pi. They didn't actually have a
tiger
on the boat with him. But
didn't they have real shots of that tiger on the boat, and then they just kind of cut
over the tiger.
Yeah, they just kind of cut.
But they also CGI'd some stuff too. But the thing is that they blended those things together. There's no reason they couldn't do that with elves or whatever. Like they could have.
But I think it's just hard to make something that you're making not look human look real. It's kind of harder to do that versus something that's not in reality, make it look real.
Because they don't exist. So you're going to always get a little bit of that feeling because elves don't exist.
Yeah.
Yeah. They look like, they look like Zootopia characters. They look
gerbils
like
they kind of look like little gerbils dressed up. Yeah.
They kind of look like anthropomorphized turtles, or not turtles, gerbils. But I don't know.
I didn't expect them to be as small as they were.
I did like that
they were talking about. I didn't expect tiny little guys.
Yeah,
the fact that she
little.
Goes into the sack.
Yeah,
and
that
then
was
the,
cool.
Yeah,
I
was
didn't
a cool.
Expect them to be, 6 inches tall. I expected them to be, 3 feet tall or whatever.
And I like that they speak kind of German.
I'm not sure what that. Well,
it's
Elven.
Like Scandinavian almost. Yeah,
maybe
sounds
Turkish.
Yeah. It's like a blend of Scandinavian, German, and a few other languages, probably.
Yeah, it's cool, though. I like it. She picks it up.
Yeah.
And how she starts speaking
it.
The quantum, so I put down quantum teleportation, which
was
kind of the vibe that I've been saying the last few weeks of how
Santa
would work, is by folding time and space in on itself.
It's close. It does work as far as getting to city to city,
Yeah, he folds time and space to get from city to city. But I also think he's folding time and space to get into chimneys and stuff, right?
No, they literally showed it.
They show magical pixie dust going in and out of each one.
Yeah. He turns himself into dust.
Yeah. But I will say that, of course, we know that if he went at the pace that we watched this movie go at,
it wouldn't happen.
And what was this, in what world would you need to jump? Would you even need the ability to jump from country to country, other than when you need to cross the ocean? Because what would have happened is you start on the east coast of a country, and then you would work your way up and down.
It that way,
you would do this all the way up, up and down, up and down, up and down, all the way across the country.
Which they showed,
But the way they did it was he did their neighborhood, Then they dipped over to, he was going to dip over to Egypt and do some shit. He was going to dip over to France and drop some presents off.
But when they actually did it, they didn't. If you watch the little thing that was on his dash, it literally went New York.
Yeah, it was East Coast to West Coast.
It went across in
the order of the time zones. Yeah. Which that would make more sense.
It made sense, yeah.
Okay.
Maybe he was just doing it more sporadically earlier in the night because he was like, ah, fuck it, I'm having fun. Like,
yeah, because he's not in a hurry originally. Yeah,
it was
part
of his three whiskeys deep biker bar Santa.
Yeah,
planning. I'm fucking with
he's just
kids.
Having fun.
Yeah, he's having fun.
Okay.
Let's show him what this can do.
Yeah. Gnarly sleigh crash, but why in every movie, when there's a crash, does it always happen where the people get knocked out with zero injuries, they lay on the floor completely unconscious for about 2 seconds, and then they wake up and they're like confused as to where they are?
Christmas magic.
CTE.
Yeah, CTE.
Yeah.
Christmas. Yeah.
Yeah, this fucking, Christmas traumatic.
Well, I just feel like in this movie, like going back to what I was saying, a lot of the oddball stuff like that, you're like, it just leans into what I said. It knows not to take itself too seriously.
Yeah.
It's like, it knows it's a ridiculous premise, and it just leans into it.
It just has fun with it.
Yeah, it does. Yeah. I like when the bar scene.
When he's talking to the hostess and everyone, like, all these different people, and they're like, just go away, stop talking to me. And I speak English, asshole. Like,
the jail scene. Like, going back to the jail scene. Jesus Christ.
Steven Van Zandt.
There was the whole East
Street
Band.
Yeah.
It was great.
Oh, is that who that was?
That's the East Street Band. It's like Bruce Springsteen's band. I was surprised Bruce Springsteen wasn't in it after all that.
Well, because now
it was like every member of the band was in
that's
it.
That's pretty cool. I didn't know that.
Yeah. Now it's
including
now
the backup singer.
Steven Van Zandt's band now.
Well, they still, no, he still plays with
They still
Bruce.
Play? Oh, with Bruce, really? With Bruce. Yeah. I didn't know that.
He has his own band as well.
Yeah.
And that talk about somebody who Steven Van Zandt.
He's been in a lot.
Jeez.
Yeah, he's been in a lot.
That's a busy guy.
Since Sopranos.
That is a busy guy.
The one that I never finished was the show that he did. It was a Netflix show.
Netflix original, the first one. It's great.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I forgot what's it called. It's city
where
that he
goes
went to
somewhere in Scandinavia, I think, right?
Yeah, it's like Sweden.
Yeah, he moves over like he's like a
He's a mob guy.
He's a mob guy who leaves the country and goes to Scandinavia to start over.
Witness protection program.
It's actually really good. It was like the first Netflix original.
Yeah, what was it called?
Oh, wait.
It was like Wonderlel or something. Looter.
Yeah.
It's something like that. Yeah.
I know exactly because it was one of the Netflix original. I can't pull that one out. It
came
out
right around the same time as Marco Polo.
My autism isn't that strong.
It'll get there.
Yeah. The stealing the car logic is pretty great. The car was already stolen. So they're stealing the car. And they're just going to return it after. Yeah. That was great. The dude that they piss off, the bartender guy, he was going to kill that valet.
Yeah.
When the valet says, "Don't worry, I reported it stolen." He's like, "You did what?" And he holds up like a crowbar or something. Yeah. He's about to kill that guy.
Yeah.
We cut away from violence.
Yeah.
That guy beat that dude with a crowbar. I bet that was a violent, bloody scene. Where they're like, I don't know, some dude came in, he knew all of our names, he spoke a bunch of different languages, he stole this dude's car, but it was already stolen, he killed our valet. Oh, it was a tragic Christmas Eve. I never want to see or think about Santa ever again. That poor girl, that poor hostess. I was going to give him money, he was so persuasive.
Yeah.
She has to go to therapy for that.
She's about to give him all her tips.
Yeah.
Like, I'm a hostess, so I don't make much, but
But here you go. If it helps. No. So, when Santa's going through the glove box, and why do they still call it a glove box, by the way? We don't keep our gloves in there anymore. There's no way that he's not accidentally tossing some cocaine in the back seat to that little girl. Going through a criminal's glove box.
Yeah, there's gotta
just
be.
Tossing shit in the back seat. She just picked up a little baggie of cocaine at some point.
That's what, honestly, when he had the foil wrapped around the thing, I was like when he first started opening it.
Was he going to smoke crack?
Santa about the freebase right now? What the fuck?
Freebase. Don't worry, kids. Movie. I know how to get us home. Takes a dark turn. but why do we call it a glove box? I mean, it's because we have gloves in there. But yeah, we shouldn't anymore. It should be called the utility box.
Is there a reason why we don't put our gloves in? It's because we live in the desert. Yeah, but other people still put their gloves in the glove
box. Do you have gloves?
No, but the thing is,
I don't even own any gloves.
No, hold on. But actually, I don't even think it's for those kind of gloves. I don't think it's cold weather gloves. I think it's driving gloves.
Yeah, we don't need
driving gloves. No one has driving gloves anymore.
No, we don't need
it. No one wears driving gloves. You're saying...
I'm telling you, people on the East Coast where it's cold still have gloves they keep in the car for when the steering wheel's cold.
I agree there's cold weather gloves in cold weather places in their glove compartments. I'm not even on their glove
boxes. But also,
I'm not even arguing that.
It's probably more because, like, back in the day, like, weren't steering wheels, like, metal? And you didn't have air conditioners?
Or it would get,
like,
yeah.
I think they might have been wood. You get
were
splinters.
They wood?
Oh, that splinters? Might be it, too.
Okay.
Yeah, because they weren't making it out of rubber and plastic.
Yeah, it's not, they're not the same as they are now. Like, now, they don't get as hot or, I mean, they do, but they'll cool off quick because you're AC.
Do you imagine being one of those sad sacks that's like, my favorite time period was the 1940s and the 50s. I think I grew up in the wrong decade. No, fuck you, you didn't.
It was
do
nothing.
You want to use a wooden steering wheel and have to wear gloves and then go throw your shit off the fucking, I don't even know if we had toilets back then. We probably did.
We had toilets.
When did we stop throwing our shit off the side of our roofs into the alleyways?
Probably
had
to be the 1800s.
Yeah.
We did that.
Yeah. No, I know.
What else were they going to do?
What?
What else were they going
to
do? They didn't know.
The 1800s, they used to do stuff like, you'll see an old movie system, you'll see the bathtub that they go pay 10 cents to bathe in.
Yeah, it's gross.
And then they don't change the water for the next person.
Yeah,
it's like once a week they change the water.
I bet if you paid an extra nickel, they change the water.
I don't know. I'm just...
I would be that guy that would spend a whole extra day's work of work, day's worth of work to not use someone else's water. Public bathhouses in Rome. Could you imagine?
Yeah. Is that still a thing in certain countries?
Oh, no, it
still
exists.
Yeah. Like in Japan.
I think it
like
exists in San Francisco, but
isn't
it's a whole
it a
different
big
thing
in Japan is public bathhouses?
Yeah.
That's Japan, yeah, that's what I thought.
Now, if it was co-ed.
Well, I don't know if they have co-ed ones, but I think they're all like I think they're all segregated like by gender.
Oh.
Yeah.
Thank God you said by gender.
Yeah, by gender.
I don't like segregation.
Yeah.
Unless it's by gender.
I put
it's by gender.
Kurt Russell is amazing in this.
Yeah.
I put that was my note. I put Kurt Russell's great. I don't know what he was doing exactly.
Oh, I did.
The church.
I know what he was doing exactly. Okay. Because I watched an interview with him. He based his Santa on Elvis Presley and his own father, Bing Russell, which explains why he looks like he could headline a rock concert and picture car transmission.
Yeah. Yeah, that's good. He said that?
That's great.
He said that last part with the
transmission.
No, that's good. That's good. I'm not crying, I put, for the church scene where the brother and sister are outside the church and they're finally talking about
dad's favorite song.
It's dad's favorite song, Christmas Tree. Yeah. And then
haven't been in since.
And then they stop. And then she's like, I saw your letter to dad. What were you trying to, or I saw your letter to Santa. What were you going to say? Right? Didn't she say that at that point or whatever?
Yeah.
And then he's like, why would you, blah, 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 blah. He gets mad. No. She wasn't there yet, was she?
She was, no.
Did she already go to the, no.
No,
I don't
think
she already.
That was towards the end.
Because right after I put,
when
she goes
that,
into the bag.
Yeah.
So this was right before she goes back. She hasn't seen the letter yet.
Okay.
So this is like she's. Yeah. But
they're
maybe
just
he,
sad about dad kind of thing.
Yeah.
But
yeah, that was after they flew on the reindeer and landed close to the bag and were looking for the bag.
Did he mention earlier when they were talking, did he say, like, I just wanted to tell dad, never mind. And then left?
Yes.
Was that part of it?
Yes, that was part
of it. So she was aware at least. And then when she picks up the letter, she starts to be like, I always wanted to tell dad. And then, like, it gets interrupted.
Yes, it's not that it gets interrupted. That's more the point where they try not to talk about him being dead. It's like they're between even between each other avoiding talking about it.
Yeah.
It's kind of what they're trying to show there.
They're still kind of in the denial phase of grief.
They're in denial about dad being not coming back.
They're showing that, like, it was fairly recent that dad died. Like, it was... Within the year. Like, this is their first Christmas without dad.
My
it's like dad would have had this decorated. So there's little things throughout the movie that are like statements of missing dad without saying it.
Yeah.
So it's my dad's birthday today.
Yeah.
And I called him. And I was like, hey, dad, you made it to your 70s. You know, congrats. every year is a victory. He's like, what? Yeah, I know. I'm thinking about that. It's like, I'm close to, you know.
Thanks
like,
for reminding
yeah, thanks
me,
for reminding me that I'm on my last, like, yeah. And I was just like, well, no, it's just, you know, it's good that you, I'm, and he's just like, thanks for cheering me up, son. And, so that was our conversation. Love you, Dad. Well,
that's why I come here every week.
Yeah. And he cheers you up.
Oh, man. Oh, so here's something interesting. When she goes into the bag, she sees a Porsche,
yeah,
a full bicycle, and then yeah, also yeah, a wooden toy car,
yeah,
a cheap robot toy.
Yeah. Every kid's
who,
different.
Whatever they ask for. Yeah.
Who gets what? Who what determines what? No, okay.
It's what you ask.
I understand what
how you
ask.
Who gets a Porsche?
Who gets a Porsche?
Yeah, who gets the full Porsche?
Jason's wife, who's a true believer.
Got it. So how does she account for the Porsche? Like, a Porsche, like, okay, a wooden toy, Brendan forgot he bought it, yeah, for his kids.
Yeah.
It's underneath, it says from
Santa.
Santa's
real in this
yeah,
world.
They're true believers.
They're
so
true
so
believers.
They truly believe in Santa.
Santa is real in this world. You yeah, have to go back to the, yet once again, suspending disbelief part of it.
Yeah.
You're looking at it from the perspective of a parent did it or whatever. No, not in this.
You wholeheartedly
in this,
believe.
Santa is real.
Yeah.
There is no moms doing it and putting Santa on it. When they get to the house at the end, those presents came from Santa, not from mom.
Yeah.
Okay. So in this world, if you wake up and you have a gift from Santa, you believe wholeheartedly it's Santa. Though there'd be a lot
no,
more true believers then.
You don't just believe it. It is.
It is Santa.
But there'd be a lot more true believer
only
parents.
If you're a true believer. If you're not a true believer, it's not.
But if yeah, Brennan went downstairs
if
on
I
Christmas,
wasn't a true believer, I wouldn't have that.
Wouldn't, he wouldn't have
yeah,
one.
But his kids are true believers is what I'm saying.
Maybe.
If his, I'm just saying.
If I taught my kids.
Let's right, say they are.
But if I never believed, why would I teach my kids to be true believers?
Because they're children. They always believe that
yeah,
stuff.
Yeah, they do and they don't. They're still like, it doesn't
yeah,
make sense.
They don't
sense,
really believe it.
Yeah,
that's
they're
what,
like, that doesn't
kids
make
are
sense,
cynical, man.
Yeah.
Kids don't
even
really
even your youngest
believe,
doesn't believe in Santa?
Hey, he's,
Reese?
Well, we haven't
they're
really,
not sure is what it
yeah,
is.
Yeah, like we talk about it and we like, so what we do is like our Santa gift is going to be is one stocking and one gift from Santa. The rest is from us. You know, Santa tells us what you want. Like, this is like the first year they're actually going to see Santa because
okay,
we're going to Flagstaff to Santa's Village, taking the train ride and all that stuff. We're excited about it.
That's fun.
My youngest is excited about it. My middle child is like, I want to stay home. It's like, yeah, no, we're going, dude. Like, we're all going. Like,
he's fine.
He doesn't believe.
Well, he just, he gets anxiety about.
He's scared.
He gets anxiety about the
lots
unknown.
Lots of kids are scared of Santa.
Yeah. He gets anxiety. Like, when we went to Universal Studios, he was like, I don't want to wait in this line. Like, I don't want to do the ride. It's like, it's going to be fun. Like, you're going to have fun. He's like, no, I don't want to. Like, so he gets anxiety just waiting for things.
Because, yeah. Because it's like, he's already.
He doesn't know what it is.
If there was no line at all, you can maybe convince him probably like, hey, let's just get on this cool little ride.
Yeah.
But it's the waiting and the pressure building up.
Yeah. And he gets anxious. He's like, nope, don't want to do it.
But this is
no, my
Santa's
granddaughter
village,
would never sit on Santa's yeah, lap, ever.
Yeah. I think, like, once we go and do it, he'll kind of get into it. Like, cause it, like medieval times, my parents took him. He had a little freak out beforehand. But once they got in there and started doing it, he was like, he loved it, you know?
Yeah, I mean, but Santa's Village, that's like,
that's
you just
epic,
give him
yeah,
candy and hot chocolate.
Oh, yeah, that'll be cool.
It's going to be their first time seeing
cool,
snow. Like, it's going to be a lot of cool shit. Like,
I remember going to the Santa's Village somewhere in California. I forgot in the Big Bear area.
Big Bear, yeah.
Really fun. Really fun Santa's Village.
Yeah, when I watched this, I really thought that somebody could build this
yeah,
Santa's Village and make a fortune.
Oh, and the second one?
Yeah.
There's
second
Santa. Yeah.
He's now, he's now cross. He's now, he doesn't know what's happening.
Yeah.
He doesn't know which one he's in right now. Elves. I put the elves are cute. I'm not against the elves yeah, in these movies. I like them. They're better than minions. They have more autonomy. They talk to each other. They actually,
if you're in the second one, you know they have a lot of autonomy.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah, if you look at the second one, they have a whole community. It's like really cool. But yeah, I would say the elves are cool. I like them. They don't annoy me.
No.
But there's a disconnect. It's the same I get from watching Roger Rabbit. Like whoever mentioned that earlier, because you read my brain when
yeah,
I was thinking about it. But it's not just Roger Rabbit. It's pretty much any of those movies.
Anything we combine the Chipmunks movies, whatever. Yeah.
Yeah. We haven't perfected that yet.
I'm not sure we can, is what I'm saying, because they're anamorphic. I don't
No, I think the way you do it is something like the remake of The Jungle Book, where
the real things that look
you like. Make the animals and shit look real as fuck. And then,
what do you mean? You didn't believe David Hasselhoff was really hanging out with SpongeBob in the first SpongeBob movie? That was pretty legit.
I forgot all about that, Brendan.
That was the best. I don't think it's gonna get any better than that, man.
I think that if you make the creatures look more real, you can suspend disbelief a little more, maybe. But when they look like these, like little hamster guys or whatever, obviously you're gonna know they're fake. Automatically, your subconscious is gonna know. There's no way it's in the scene.
That's
impossible.
Yeah.
So, the Lion King remake, and now Mufasa's coming out.
Right, the Mufasa one. Right.
Those look great.
Yeah.
Because they're all self-contained. Like the whole movie's CGI.
Sure.
I don't think
plus they also are a meerkat, or they are a lion, or they are a...
It's a real
in
animal.
In this, it's not a real animal. So your subconscious is never going to let you think that SpongeBob is real.
Yeah.
Speaking of Mufasa, do you think we're going to get the origin of Timon and Pumbaa?
I don't know. Probably a different movie. It's Disney. They got to find a way to make more money.
Yeah.
It's probably a different movie.
Yeah.
Maybe, but like...
They'll do a remake of The Lion King 1.5.
Wow. Well, yeah, they could remake 2.
Yeah.
And 1.5. Fuck.
Yeah. Might as well.
They could do all of those movies with this technology now.
Yeah.
Right.
They have all the assets for it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, it'll be way easier to make.
Are they still
doing
Snow White?
Yeah.
I think so.
Yes, there's a live
action. They're still doing Snow White.
But they went with CGI dwarves.
There was a lot of
officially at the very end. They had little people as the dwarves. And then they went
they
with. Then they changed it to 7 different people altogether, of varying sizes, which pissed people off. So there weren't just all little people. There was also like full grown people. But then what also pissed people off was that there was one trans dwarf.
I think no matter what,
somebody's
gonna
be mad no matter what you do.
Exactly.
Yeah.
No matter
what. That was the thing they harped on the most.
I mean, Willy Wonka just recently had a full-size person playing a dwarf.
Yeah, was it Hugh Grant or
it was Hugh Grant.
Hugh Grant.
Which
I thought he did great. I
mean,
he
just
still
made people mad for some stupid reason. It's like, come on, it's not the real world, people. It doesn't matter.
No. And
it's
he was the
it's
only
like talking
Oompa
about what's the one that's out now, Wicked, and it's because it's a black lady. They're like, listen, it doesn't matter. These aren't real people.
Wait, what?
Well, first
what
off,
Wicked,
I think the green chick should be played by a black chick because
I agree with you, but
because
dude,
of the political.
I don't think it matters.
There's a political overtones, like the political, not even overtones.
No,
they're
that,
like
that
straight up in your face.
Yeah.
Skin color makes her different.
Right.
Like. Why not have a black chick player?
I agree.
Yeah. I don't know why people
are
mad
people
about
that.
Like, yeah.
Oh, because the original Green Witch was a white chick.
In the Broadway play?
No, in The Wizard of Oz.
In The Wizard of Oz. Well, yeah.
No, that's all it takes.
Yeah, that's all it takes for these people. That's what we're saying.
The fact that the Norway Little Mermaid story was adapted by Disney and made her into a redheaded white chick. The fact that they wanted to do it again and make her a chick of color, a black chick. That pissed people off.
Right.
Yeah.
Because that made up Little Mermaid is, you know.
It's a freaking mermaid. Who cares?
Yeah.
That's the point. It's a freaking fish lady.
Yeah.
They're also pissed off that Snow White isn't a Caucasian chick. She's, Latina.
One of my best friends, his daughter is like mixed race and she looks darker. She loved The Little Mermaid.
Oh, I imagine.
Yeah she loved it.
I think that's great. Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't care what color the Little Mermaid is. It's a freaking Little Mermaid.
Yeah.
I don't care what color. I'm not going to watch it regardless. I'm a grown man and I don't watch Disney princess
and
movies
you certainly
anymore.
Don't go on Twitter and bitch about it.
Yeah,
exactly.
If I had daughters, I would watch it with them.
Yeah.
But my sons.
Well, I'm forced to watch them.
Yeah.
Like tonight.
My kids like other stuff.
Tonight, the 3 movie choices, because my buddy Sean's in town, is Red One. Moana 2 or Wicked. And I'm okay with all 3, seeing it with some friends. I wouldn't go see either 3 on my own.
Those are interesting choices. Does he have children?
No.
That's just
going
out.
With you?
He has a wife.
Okay.
That's
is
just
she
what's
12?
Out.
You don't understand how wives work, apparently.
<12?
laughs> Am I wrong in this, or is your wife also a she watches, you know, the Disney movies and stuff. I mean, you also have kids.
Yeah, we have kids, exactly. So, like, we would take the kids to see Moana, too. She does want to see it. I also want to see it, too, but I like
well,
Moana.
Well, me and my wife are going to watch the Satan Santa movie tonight. So.
But that's on streaming.
The Jack Black one.
Yeah, I know, but I'm just saying, if we're going to a movie, we wouldn't go see any of those three choices.
I was
going to
see Red One. Red One looks funny. Yeah. That's the Rock one.
We would go see Transformers one, though.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying.
Transformers one, yeah.
That's what I would go see tonight.
Yeah.
We saw that.
I know, but I'm saying me and my wife would go. We were just talking about women and their choices, and they're not all the same was all I was trying to say.
Really, Mike? Not all women are the same?
Don't generalize
Thanks
people,
Andy. Thanks for blowing
Andy.
My mind right
How
now.
How dare you?
Of course not. Look, here's the thing. I think as millennials, there's a certain Gen X is different. Way different. Because here's the thing. Like, boomers, when it comes to, like, their nostalgia is just remembering, like, the general vibe of the time, right? That maybe they'll read a book from when they were younger or whatever. Gen X, you're not sitting around eating cereal watching He-Man reruns because they were popular when you were younger. You're not
watching
old G.I. Joes
though.
Or whatever. What?
I'm watching the new He-Man.
No, yeah, because, but you're, what I'm saying is you are focused on new content, that's fine.
Right.
Millennials, a lot of us are stuck in that 90s whatever. We watch old content all the time, right? And so, what were we talking about? Because I'm super stoned right now. What was
we
it?
Were
What's
talking
my argument?
About these movie choices. And you said it was because of his wife, and I'm like, I don't
so
get
Moana
that.
So, Moana 2 is a sequel to something
yes,
that's
to Moana,
from
yeah.
long enough ago that, of course, I watched it with I like Moana 1.
Right, yeah.
Moana
no,
1.
Good. Yeah,
I know
yeah.
I said I'm not a Disney princess fan or whatever, but, like, Moana 1 is
yeah,
was
good.
Fun. And,
yeah.
Maybe
I had to watch it. It was on my TV because my granddaughter.
I have a friend
that
sings the rock song when we go to karaoke, the You're Welcome song.
Yeah,
that's awesome.
But I don't know if I would rather just wait for that to go streaming.
Yeah,
at some
Moana
point.
2, yeah. That's how I'll watch it. I'll watch it when it streams on Disney+.
So we're
going to
watch
be...
Red 1. But the other option, Wicked, because it's so popular, and I have a friend who keeps blowing my phone up being like, you should go see Wicked. It's so good. Plus, Wicked, shout out to my friend Christopher Scott, because Christopher Scott is the choreographer for Wicked.
Yeah, that one I knew why you were with Wicked would be one of your choices. It was more the Moana that I wasn't sure of.
Yeah.
Because Wicked, I understand because of knowing about your friend. But and Wicked, there's only one reason I'm not going to go see Wicked in theaters. And it's because, this is just me, I hate when they tell me in advance a movie's split in two and I'm going to have to wait 2 years to see the other part of it.
It's split into two.
Yes.
So it's like
it's
act
only part one of
two.
Wicked. Yes.
Wow, that's kind of crazy. Or are they going?
Well,
more
no, Wicked
off the
was
book?
Like a 3-hour play.
Was
so
it?
I understand it's going to be two-hour movies.
I didn't realize it was a 3-hour play.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
You could also just read the book if you want the ending.
That's true because the book's all in one.
I want the whole story. So
yeah
but then but
I'll wait and I'll watch it on streaming and then I'll probably go see Wicked 2 in theaters if I like Wicked 1.
But
enough.
What
that's
I'm
what
saying, Michael,
okay.
is you could read the book now before seeing Wicked.
I've seen the stage play.
So have I. But I'm saying you could read the book, too. Mm-hmm. Get the full... Because even the stage play had to edit from the book. Yeah. So read the book, which is what the stage play is based on and what the movie's based on. And
the
then,
book's probably better than all of it.
I'm sure. Oh, I haven't read the book yet, but I've heard good things about it. Yeah. What I'm saying is you read the book, you get the whole dump of the story, then just go watch the movie in the theater because then you get the big screen experience knowing, you'll have to wait 2 years to get the second half of it. But at least you're not hanging on a cliff like everyone else is who refuses to read the book or watch the play.
Yeah.
There's ways around it where it's like you can fix
well,
the
part. I don't mean the hanging
break.
On the cliff part. It's just the whole enjoyment of it. I can't tell you how happy I was to go right into the second one of these movies we just watched.
Sure.
It was a much better experience than... Now, obviously, you never knew there was going to be a sequel when you watched this. The first time, it was fine because it didn't end on a cliffhanger or anything
like
that.
Yeah, closed out good.
Yeah.
It closed out. But a lot of these movies, when they're set up in advance to be sequels, they end in a spot that I do not enjoy.
I'm not going to touch Dune until they tell me they're done with Dune.
Right, exactly. Because
there's two Dune movies, a Dune show, and another Dune movie coming.
And now let me let you know, you can start, but you have to start with the series because it's a prequel.
Did you already start the show?
I started the show.
How many episodes are out so far?
Like three.
3. Is it good?
Yeah, it's good.
Okay.
Because I've read now I've read Dune, the first book, so I know how Dune. I know the story of Dune,
right.
But I haven't read. And then when it gets to like which ones should you read after, people get all fucking because there's like ones that weren't written by the guy that take place immediately after. There's ones that like it's so
like the Star Wars universe at that point.
It gets so convoluted the moment you're done with
extended.
Then it's. Children of Dune, and then like there's so many Dunes that I just and I wasn't even that into the first one that I just decided I'm not taking this rabbit hole. I'm not doing it. I there's so many rabbit holes. I'll jump down. I read all 12 or all 7, however many books in the Chronicles of Narnia. I read all those, which
I didn't realize there was that many books.
It gets nuts. Thousands and thousands of years passed. In Narnia. From Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe, to when they go back with the Voyage of the Dawn Treader, where they go through the painting with their cousin Eustace, and they that one I think Voyage of the Dawn Treader way better than Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe, because Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe because it's been so many
iterations of it. Yeah,
yeah, you can tell how much I love it because if you. I think tucked away over there is my, or maybe I put it in my little DVD case, but I have the old BBC DVDs of the BBC production of Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe and the Silver Chair.
I also see Good Omens over there, another good show.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The book, yeah. Well, I like Neil Gaiman. He's great. American Gods is a fucking intense book, intense show, too. This isn't wreck. We're not there yet. We're nearing the end of the movie, so let's get through this thing and we'll get there. We love it. Obviously, you can tell we love this movie.
Yeah, we're talking about everything else.
Yeah, you know it's a good movie when we everything
brings
else.
Other things up though. That's
yeah,
the,
it does.
Yeah,
it does.
Elves are adorable. The elf was about to chainsaw that dude's the brother's dick, which I thought was great. I think one of the cutest moments was like actually like really good moment was. Brother gets taken by those gangsters. They have the bag. He's like, no, you can't. And the dude throws in the furnace. He's like, my sister's in there. And he like runs. He hits the dude, puts his own life in jeopardy, pulls the bag out. That was great. And then the elves fuck shit up, which was great. And I think that's when he was about to chainsaw the dude's dick.
Yeah, he's like, no, he's with me.
Yeah,
but I feel like the elves.
Oh, the brother, because they did. Yeah.
I feel like Santa had to clue his elves into his plan, and they had to be in on it. Like, so they had to have been messing with them with the chainsaw, because they weren't that violent with the other guys that they actually beat up.
You're right. Once you put the maybe that elf's a little unhinged.
Yeah. Or that.
There's a few unhinged elves.
There could be, honestly.
There's a few.
That's what kind of makes them funny is that, like, there's a couple elves that get too much into the bloodlust, I think, on the fight, which I kind of like.
How far are you into the second one?
Yeah, I'm enough that I know that the elves can get crazy.
Oh, that's funny. Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, no, wait till you see the second
one.
Yeah,
the second one's.
It actually, that's what I'm saying. It informs the first one in that you find out things, like, about the elves that are.
Okay.
You get more backstory on everything.
Yeah,
that's
so
cool.
It's like if you watch this first one and you're thinking that's great, I don't need to know anything more about Santa or his world or anything. I liked that it was a touch of little Goldie Hawn at the end, and it ends on a perfect note. That's wonderful. Now, if you want a deep dive into the history of specifically Goldie Hawn, Kurt Russell, Christmas, and all of the shenanigans with the elves and stuff, get into the second movie. And what's great is it's a sequel that feels a little bit like a prequel.
Kind of, yeah.
Well, no way.
No, it doesn't really feel like a prequel. It's
in the way that
in the way it informs things.
In the way that it because it's like you're getting more backstory than you did in the first movie. But it's exciting.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's exciting.
Yeah.
It's a completely different kind of movie.
And was it a year later that they made one?
I think it's exactly. Well, no, it was made 2 years.
2 years.
It was 2 years to come out.
Yeah. But
it's set a year later.
Gotcha. Okay.
Here's one spoiler.
No, it's set 2 years later as well.
Oh, okay.
It is 2 years later.
Okay. One spoiler, because it's the part I'm on, is there's definitely another song. There's
definitely
another big old musical number.
With
I paused it, so I don't know who the person
is.
Is that the chick?
Yeah, the chick is.
Who is that?
That is.
Sorry, spoilers ahead for people who haven't watched it, but we're going to give a spoiler for the song part.
Yeah, I'm fine.
Oh, that's not really much of a spoiler, but it's.
I mean, she has a great voice.
Is it another Elvis song?
No, it's not another Elvis song, but it's as famous, and it is, oh my God,
Patti LaBelle.
Oh, okay.
Okay. I've heard the name. She has a really great voice. Yes. She did a great job. Yeah. She's one of, yeah. I won't go any more further into it.
Oh, it's actually
second
her?
Second movie? Singing.
Yeah.
No, it's her singing. That's yeah, cool. And that's Kurt Russell singing both that.
Yeah.
Which is cool. That's great. He has a pretty good voice.
Pretty good, yeah.
Why did the cop quit? I already brought that up. Now, when they're leaving, this is what I've almost never understood about animals in general, like horses, reindeers, if they're, or like dogs or whatever, if they're slaying you. If the animals ahead know that there's something they shouldn't run into, I would imagine that it would take a lot of you, they would avoid it because they don't want to run into it.
Yeah.
So, there's a lot of movies where horses will just run off cliffs. I'll give them that because maybe at a certain angle, you don't know. You're just running. They can't see down.
Yeah.
And they just run off a cliff. I'm sure that happens in nature all the time. It sucks. But why would the reindeer, when they're leaving, drive through a billboard? Like, they see the billboard. They're not stupid. They have the ability to maneuver around it.
Well, the
but they literally
they
crash
it,
through
well,
it.
Well, because the way they did it, they were showing pulling really hard, and it was almost like when you see a plane take off and it can't do it. It was like
they do that thing.
Yeah,
you know what the most unbelievable version
of? They couldn't fly. You realize the reindeer in this couldn't fly until they attached the belt.
Yeah,
it's all
it took
science.
The magic.
Yeah. Oh, you said magic. I said science.
Yeah, but it's magic.
At the same time, we said that. But I would say I think it's more science. I think he's an inventor.
Well, he is definitely an inventor.
Yeah. Okay. Wait. Oh shit. What were you? Oh, I just had a point. And then you ruined it by putting the belt in my head. Now I'm thinking about the science. It doesn't matter. So sweet ending. The decorations in the house. I'm not crying. I put again when the mom
presents.
Comes in
and
the Christmas present.
Perfect.
The ornament ending. That's what got me.
Yeah.
God.
That's what got me.
So we finally
he only had one wish, right?
And it was to tell his dad that he was proud of him.
Yeah.
And then his dad now
or to have his dad tell
was
him
to
he was
see
proud
his
of
dad
him.
Again was his wish. Actually,
yeah.
No, I don't even know. The thing is his wish wasn't to have his dad tell him that he was that to have the dad say he's proud of him. His wish was to tell his dad, who's now dead,
that he's proud of him.
Yeah. That's the thing. It wasn't a magic. It wasn't an ornament that repeats things back to you.
Yeah.
Which I thought at first. I was like, oh, it's a magic. He can say things and have his dad say it back to him, which is kind of a weird thing.
Yeah.
No, I think it's he had a chance to tell his dad that he's proud of him.
Dad. See, and I also I kind of saw it. As a kind of more of a like, he wanted to see his dad, but and he wanted his dad to say he was proud of him. But then when he saw the ornament and the reflection of him turned into his dad, that was him seeing like become your dad,
right?
Like
that was what
I took out of it.
Like two or three times in this movie, specifically,
yeah.
He says, "I just want to tell dad." And then .. It cuts off.
Right.
In the letter, it's like, and I just want to tell dad. And then she gets taken away from
him. The thing I kept thinking it was going to say that I love him or whatever.
Yeah.
Exactly.
What
I was like, I miss you.
Say, yeah,
I love you or
right,
whatever.
Yeah.
And it's better than that.
Yes.
It's he's telling his brave firefighter father, I'm proud of you.
Right.
Yeah.
Like that. So I think that was important for him to be able to say that. But then having his dad say it back to him was also very important.
While he was saying it. Yeah.
Okay. So I think it was, what a sweet ending.
Yeah.
I'm almost tearing up thinking about it now.
Dude.
Like,
wait for the second one. You're not there yet. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, you got to go home tonight and watch the second movie.
You don't have kids.
I know. Yeah. I'm all,
Well, then he called his dad and told him, you're going to die soon, fucker.
I'm the worst human being on the planet. It's official.
Okay, what's your favorite scene in the whole movie?
Oh, I don't know. I think it might be... Well, God, I just these those super sweet moments. Oh, by the way, earlier this week, you guys were asking sort of what the vibe of the movie was, and I couldn't quite come up. But then I think Mike said, "So sort of like a Hallmark movie," and then I think I said
the
vibe of a Hallmark movie, but the best version of it that you can think of, and that is what this is.
Yeah,
because it's the decorations are sweet and not over the top.
No,
in the first movie.
No, in the second movie, well, that's because that's the North Pole, though. That's
different. Yeah, and you spend a lot more time in the North Pole, you get a lot more Christmassy stuff. they sort of underplayed a little bit in this, where it's like you don't like you see it around in the peripherals, but
I don't know some of it. But then you look at think about even in this one, the spiral tree thing that sits up through the when the present scene where she goes in the bag and then it goes down through the big old
a tree
down in through the the big
that was
tree.
Cool. Yeah,
it was so cool.
That was cool.
Yeah,
Bayer Belt tree.
Santa's Hall there with the Hall of Letters.
Yeah,
this is the kind of if I was a director or writer or whatever, this is the kind of movie I would make because it's just those little loving touches of detail. It's like, yeah, so when she goes through the bag, I want it to look like a Christmas tree when she comes out the other end. What do you mean? I don't know. I just want the presents to come out resembling like a Christmas tree like formation as it goes up into the whatever. It's like, cool. Yeah.
Very cool.
So it looks great, well acted. The kid actors were great. They didn't aggravate me at all, which I do get very aggravated with
kid
actors.
I get that a lot
of
times. Yeah, these felt like real kids. They didn't
even in the second one, they introduced a character that might be problematic because of his trait of being nervous, but I like him a lot.
Yeah.
So this has done some good. Yeah, the other kid.
The little brother figure.
The other kid. Yeah. But also the other guy. In the movie, it doesn't matter. We can't keep.
Well, no, but they kind of reverse roles. I would just say the point of that was that they kind of reverse roles.
Yeah, she becomes the older.
She
figure.
Becomes the older brother, and then the new character is kind of the younger brother.
So the older brother's not in the second
he's
one.
In it,
he's
but
in
not
it.
As much. He's okay. In the very beginning and the very end.
Okay. At that point, he's like now.
My
18.
Favorite scene in this has to be what I have named "Orange is the New North Pole."
Oh, when they're in the jail.
When they're in the jail. Yeah.
And they do the musical number, and he's pulling out guitars and a piano.
Yeah.
And
it's just the E Street Band, and I'm like, that's just great.
Then the cop at the very end, he's like, yeah, all right.
Here, go ahead, go. And then, did you like, I love that, because I thought he was going to walk out.
Yeah.
He didn't walk out.
He used the magic.
He went to let him out, and he went.
Yeah. That's great. Yeah. And then he gives the kid the hat. And I didn't need it at all.
I didn't need
never
it.
Needed it.
Never needed it.
So great. So let's rate this thing. I give it a B. As far as our rating system goes.
For a few more weeks.
For a few more weeks is at least we go from B because we typically were doing B movies. We don't anymore. But that's where our top grade is B. It goes all the way down to W. We won't have to think about that for now. I don't think any of us are getting close to that. So I was between a B plus and a B. And I think maybe after talking about it again, I'm gonna up it to a B plus. So B plus for me, Andy.
I mean, we picked really good Christmas movies this year. It was kind of hard to give anything a grade lower than a B. Like this is definitely a solid Christmas movie. Probably gonna watch it again with my kids and for years to come. Give it a B.
Yeah, this will be a yearly watch for us too. Yeah. About B plus. Yeah.
B plus.
Yeah, there's no.
So.
I mean, I can't think of it, honestly of even the ones we watched.
Yeah.
A better feeling from beginning to end Christmas movie. Now some of them had just as good of a feeling. In them. It was like when you get the end of the movie, like Planes, Trains. It's towards the end of the movie you get that feeling.
Yeah.
This movie throughout. Just it feels like Christmas.
Was it directed by Chris Columbus? We were right.
No, he was a producer.
Okay.
Yeah.
Got it.
Was a different director, different writer. He was a producer on it.
Cool. Well, he produced the hell out of it.
Yeah.
You don't say that very often, but you know, you can feel them behind it.
Yeah.
Awesome. Well, great. And as always, we're going to do a quick little recreational recommendation.
Beboo.
We miss you, Austin.
I have one more thing about this movie.
Oh.
It's not really even about this movie. I told you earlier a little story about my granddaughter. And you haven't seen the second movie yet, but I'm going to show you the character. That my granddaughter
said
100%, and this character came on screen and she went, is Andy in this movie?
Ooh, oh my god, I forgot about this.
What? Andy clean shaven and with long hair.
Yeah.
And a little darker.
She thinks
personality wise. I think it had more to do with personality and
is
like,
that the same kid from Stranger Things?
That's Bell Snickles his name.
Belsnickel? Is he the pizza kid from
I don't know
Stranger Things?
Did the pizza kid from Stranger Things have
a stoner kind of accent?
Did he have an accent?
Like stoner accent. He was like a stoner surfer dude.
Oh, this kid's New Zealand.
He's
from something else I've seen.
Oh, is he the one from, is it where the wild things are. It's Wilder People or something.
We were about half or maybe two thirds through the movie when she said it. She said,
that's funny.
I I don't know if I'm offended
or happy. I know it's
happy because
what
I kind of like that dude.
Yeah, exactly.
Was it Wilder people or?
I know what you're talking about. I'm going to solve this for you. Okay. His name is Julian Dennison. And we Deadpool. Know him from Deadpool. The moment I saw a different picture of him, he's the kid from Deadpool, the first one that has the flame.
But I think
pants.
He is in that whatever movie I'm trying
I'll
to
look
name.
Up,
I don't know. It was funny.
It's the Hunt for the Wilder People.
It's exactly Hunt for the Wilder People.
Yeah. Okay.
How did you pull that out of your ass right at the right moment? I was about to read it off to you. You read it as my brain was reading it.
Because it was coming back to me.
Is that a good movie?
I haven't watched it, but I wanted to. It looked good. It's so, like it's like a kind of like a kid and an old man, a grumpy old man kind of friend story thing, like kids running away.
Oh, and it's played by Taika Waititi.
Yeah.
Oh.
I think it is a Taika Waititi movie.
But it's Sam Neill.
Sam Neill.
And him, and Taika Waititi is the director.
Yeah.
Oh, shit. I'm going to watch that. Dude.
Yeah.
That looks good. So is that your rec?
Andy is Bell Snickle.
I mean, I guess it could be.
Andy is Bell Snickle.
I'm Bell Snickle from Christmas Chronicle 2, everybody, if I had long hair and shaved and was New Zealand. But I do, now that I'm thinking about it, he is a little bit just grumpy and super smart and handsome. So I get it. He's cool. He's a good character.
Yeah, I like him.
He is a good character. And, well, no, I don't want to say too much.
Now I'm going to watch that with that in mind. This is Andy. Okay. That's how kids see Andy.
This is how children see Andy. Great. That's Belschnickel, the famous villain of Christmas.
Well, I think it had come right after, you know, we watched this pretty much right after Thanksgiving.
I had just
just been messing with her at the house, kind of messing, you know, teasing.
Yeah.
It's like so.
I was teasing all of them, everybody.
Yeah, that's awesome.
There's three teen kids that were just being all teenagers. Yeah. One of them wants to be a paleontologist.
That's cool. That's awesome.
That's that super smart little guy.
He's the one that could do it.
Yeah.
Oh no, he can't.
That's funny.
Yeah, it's gonna be cool. All right, recreational recommendations. Give me another one.
Beeboo. Again, cool. We miss you, Austin.
Yeah. All right. Well, does anyone have anything? Because I pretty much have just been busy.
Yeah.
It's been Thanksgiving week. I haven't done much.
Well, last week I recommended an older game, a couple years older, High on Life. I beat it, and then now I'm starting the DLC High on Knife.
Which I have not played.
It's fun. I'm a little bit into it right now. It's funny because, like, one of the first levels you go to, there's like a giant monster that you kind of like have to encounter with, and he's like soaking in this toxic water, and he wants you to shoot these like leeches off of him, and then you have to go down into like a cave where his ass is there, and you have to shoot some off his ass, and it's a bar, and it's like Cheers, but it's cheeks, and they have all these characters, and then Frasier is there.
Oh, that's funny.
Yeah, and it's like a whole little like 15-20 minute episode of Cheers. And you're the bounty hunter, and you're a guest star.
That's amazing. I'm gonna go play this.
It's great. It was like $15. It's worth it.
Yeah.
Yeah. High on Knife.
Perfect.
Yeah.
Awesome. Mike.
Tex-Mex Motors. Weird Tex-Mex show. They go down
That's
to Mexico.
You talked about last
yeah,
week, right?
I talked about it last week. I was just finishing it up this year.
Okay.
This week, and it's it's just good. Just if you like car shows,
yeah,
it's a great show.
Yeah.
It's like they go down to Mexico, bring back cars. It's like and stuff you wouldn't believe, like that they can do. I had no idea that these places that do restorations, first of all, make so much money.
Oh yeah,
because they literally go through and tell you how much money they make.
That's cool.
So they go through and they go, well, we went down to Mexico and bought this. For one of them, they bought an Indian bike frame.
Okay.
For example.
Yeah.
And they got it thrown in with another deal. And
shit.
So, like, the whole out of the deal was, like, $7,000 for this half of a pickup truck and this Indian half of a bike.
Wow.
Okay.
They go back and they order all the parts and all that. They tell you how much they had to pay for everything as they get it in, and then they have a painter there that comes in. Show you the whole process of restoring it, and then they actually show you them selling. Wow. So they, from beginning to end, it takes you through it. And like in this case,
and they do
actually,
the actual breakdown of actual cost.
Actual cost, actually what they sell it
that's
for.
That's pretty fucking cool.
It's very
so it's almost like teaching you how to do this business if
you
this is what
do
you
it,
want to do.
Yes, if you had
if you knew how to make a fucking half pickup truck into a full truck.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. If you
know
exactly
how to do that,
that's what they're doing.
It's,
no.
It's
that's
literally
not, but they're
not
showing
only
you
a pickup truck. When I say half pickup truck, I'm telling you don't
it's the back end.
It's just
the
bed.
No, it's just the cab.
Okay.
With the wrong hood on it.
Oh, shit.
No bed at all.
So they do a lot of fabrication
as well?
It was
old C10. No, they order the parts. Like, they
all
go on eBay
parts
and find a bed. They go
oh,
find
shit
a left fender if they need it, or a hood, or
that's
whatever.
That's crazy.
And so, like, in this one, they only paid $7,000 for the two, and they spent, like, $40,000 getting the stuff.
Okay. But then they sold it for, like, $500,000.
And they sold it, well, not halfway, but, like, $200,000.
Okay.
So they made, like, $150,000 on
it.
This deal.
That's pretty awesome.
I think 9 times out of 10, the wrong hood, the wrong door, the wrong whatever, is just a paint job away from being the right door, the right hood.
Not if you're wanting a
original. Oh, for us, yeah.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Yeah.
For us.
If I see a car driving down, it's got a blue door on a red car, I'm like, well, you just paint your fucking door red, you
right
idiot. And then you'll look like it's a regular car.
Yeah.
So, yeah, not for these motherfuckers, not these rich guys.
And the other thing I watched, which I recommend to everyone, and I don't care who you are, whether you like dirty comedy, clean comedy, I don't care.
Okay.
Okay?
Yeah, bold statement. But
Jim Gaffigan has a special on Hulu. And it is one of the funniest things I've ever seen. It's brand new. It's called The Skinny.
Okay.
Okay.
I Skinny like
Jim
Gaffigan.
Jim Gaffigan.
Yeah, he's
cool.
Funny.
It is hilarious.
That's his newest special.
Newest.
I'll have to watch it with my wife.
Last week.
All right. So
did
we
you
the
watch
Skinny? We got
also Dr. Phil Live on
Dr.
Netflix.
Dr. Phil Live.
Yeah, I'm having a little trouble because I've listened to so much of his Dr. Phil now.
This,
I think I might be done with Dr. Phil.
This one though, it's
Adam Ray's
it's
Dr.
an
Phil
hour. It's
huh?
an hour.
Yeah.
The best thing about it is the first like 20 to 30 minutes is Dr. Phil, actual Dr. Phil comes on and it's
oh does he really
it's, yeah okay. It's
well, that
him
might
and,
be good.
That's what made it
okay,
worth
that
it.
That I would like to see.
Yeah.
But the rest of his Dr. Phil, I've
he's
seen and
it
heard because he's been doing the podcast.
Yeah.
And he's done it now like maybe 16 or 17 episodes in
yeah
a row.
Yeah. That's
it's,
true.
It's getting a little
a little stale.
Overdone.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well,
I like his other character, the nerdy one that he had.
Oh, yeah.
That's what's
Kyle.
Up.
That's what's up.
That's what's up.
Yeah,
that character was great.
Well, everybody, thank you for joining us for another exciting episode of Fried Rice Podcast. Not really Christmas edition, but yeah, we are covering Christmas movies, and this definitely, I hope you could feel the Christmas magic throughout, because we were certainly feeling it.
I mean,
it.
There definitely was Christmas magic, because we actually kept this one somewhat family-friendly.
Yeah.
We almost did.
Yeah.
Should we talk about... No, I'm just kidding. Just kidding. I'm not going to ruin it all now. We'll leave this one untainted.
Yeah, this might be our first...
Yeah.
It might be our first PG...
I mean,
no,
episode
it's
now,
not.
We cuss and stuff,
we said
but
fuck.
Yeah,
yeah.
So many
yeah,
times.
It's going to get an R, I guess.
But we didn't talk about, you know,
yeah, well,
other
well,
stuff.
Not, let's not talk about
let's
look,
not
now,
do
we're
it
so
now.
Close. We're so close to the ending. With us, as always, is Brennan. He's got a big old fucking
bee-boo
Shipley up to Boston.
I was going to say, I think it's because we talked an hour about Star Wars porn before starting the podcast.
I couldn't do it. Oh, wait, no, this is Mike. Sorry. With us as always, it's Michael. Oh, God, I wish I could remember that. That one line from that movie, Only God Forgives, where it's like, yeah, your brother's
bee-boo.
yours.
Yeah.
Just the worst, most gross endings.
Just doubling down.
Yeah, fuck. I'm so sorry, everybody. maybe I'll edit this out. Merry Christmas, everyone. And I've been your host, Andy Rice. This
Bell Snickle.
I'm Bell Snickle. This has been Fried Rice Podcast. We've been podcast. We've been fried. I took a PG-13 and took it into an R hard. Have a good night.
Good night.